football on Off the Ball.
I've looked up to Borussia for years. You know, when you hear her coming into the league and to your team, it's excitement and like you learn so much from her.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
So we're going to dig a bit deeper into Cork and Dublin here, because there's going to be passengers in their cars, there's going to be people on trains still in their kitchens just about to get to Croke Park. We have Tommy Walsh and Tommy Rooney with us after four. So you've been doing a bit of digging. What have you come up with through your digging?
Yeah, well, I suppose we kind of came up with this idea that during the week, a lot of people, as you say, from Cork in the cars, particularly today or on the train up or whatever. And Cork and Dublin don't often meet at this sort of stage of a hurling championship. We don't get to see it too often. Obviously, they met in the football championship actually this year as well in the preliminary quarter final. But John Myler made the very pertinent point. These are the two most populous, you know, counties in the country and cities, and for that reason have produced some absolutely incredible sports people on a global stage, international stage, sports people that as a nation we've looked up to for such a long time as well. And you'll recall we did the Mount Rushmores of each county, the sporting Mount Rushmore, that as it was, over COVID. I guess we were hitting that point over COVID as a sports broadcasting company where we were talking and there were no sports, there was no live sport.
The Bundesliga was on. That was
everything, you know, when we were analysing the Bundesliga for weeks. But we decided to come up with this idea, of course.
It was a great idea.
It was a brilliant idea, whoever actually
and
came up with it.
And it's still timeless, really.
It is. And there was a lot of people.
Because there are four faces on Mount Rushmore.
Yes. And it's not easy. It's not easy to narrow down the four best sports people from each individual county. Like I did the Monaghan one, as I remember, along with Gráinne McIlwain. Some counties are more straightforward. Like from a Monaghan perspective, Barry McGuigan was obvious. Nudie Hughes was probably obvious. Tommy Bowe. And Brendan McInnesby, who's won a couple of All-Irelands as well, was in the mix in that one. So some counties, I think, are straightforward enough. But when you think of Dublin and Cork...
It's impossible.
Impossible. And in particular, possibly Dublin, because ultimately I think it was decided that we would split it into South Dublin, Mount Rushmore, North Dublin, Mount Rushmore, and then from those eight, pick the four and see what we're left with. So...
I picked the four and Brian Kerr had one choice to change if he wanted to, and he did.
For the ultimate overall, yes. Dublin Mount Rushmore.
Yes, I picked the, from the north and the south, I picked those choices, I picked the four.
I'll run through it for people because, so the South Dublin Mount Rushmore, and anyone south of the Liffey will have some views on the
greatest sports people of all time.
Exactly. So
four of them.
Paul McGrath was an obvious pick.
Yes.
You know, one of only six defenders to have won the PFA Players Player of the Year award cross channel. Seven seasons at Manchester United, seven seasons at Aston Villa. One of the Republic of Ireland's greatest players of all time. Some people have him top of that list. And held in high esteem, of course, by the late, great Jack Charlton. And was it Finding Jack was the name of that documentary?
Yes.
Where Jack Charlton's obviously in the latter stages of dementia. And yet Paul McGrath pops up on screen and he remembers who he is. It was just a lovely moment. But 83 international caps and represented Ireland admirably at those three international tournaments. So I think he was an obvious pick. There had to be someone from Gaelic football, and the South Dublin representative, Jim Gavin, was there. I mean, you don't need to say much about Jim Gavin with the six All-Ireland titles, etc. And obviously a player in that Dublin team that won the All-Ireland as well in 1995. Was given freedom of the city by Dublin City Council in 2019 as well. Michael Carruth was probably an obvious pick. There's not many Olympic gold medalists, and in South Dublin they have won. Welterweight division, Barcelona Games, 1992. And it was Ireland's first goal, which I'd forgotten, since Ronnie Delaney in Melbourne in 1956. So there'd been a bit of a gap since a gold medal had come this way. And Padraig Harrington was the fourth of the South Dublin Brigade. Again, not much you can say there. You know, what, three-time major champion? And he's represented the sport of golf so well. He's a Rathfarnham man.
And recently a US Senior Open champion for the second time.
Yeah. And his achievements in these stages of his career are almost as impressive in some ways that he's still playing at a really high level, albeit at a senior stage. But he spent 300 weeks in the top 10 of the world golf rankings as well, which is quite a remarkable stat. And yeah, that those Open wins particularly have just live long in the memory for Irish sporting fans. So I think those four from South Dublin, Padraig Harrington, Michael Carruth, Jim Gavin, Paul McGrath, you can't really have much complaint in terms of
Robbie Keane could be
in the mix.
Ireland's record goal scorer
is like Ken Doherty's obviously a
yes, South Dublin
man, Ranala or Renala as he would call it. And, you know, anyone who's become a world champion in anything deserves to be in the mix. And for him, 1987, the city stopped, I think. The county stopped, the country stopped.
A world game as well.
Yeah, exactly. A world game. And his achievements there were quite remarkable. So they were the selections for South Dublin. North Dublin, equally as difficult, you would have to argue. Johnny Giles, who, of course, has retired from broadcasting with us in the last week or so, a staple of Off the Ball here, and represented both Manchester United and Leeds United with distinction. 59 international caps across a 20-year period. And anyone knows from listening to John, it's just his opinions on football over the years. It's like gospel. And you can kind of get the sense that as to how much he loves the sport from the way in which he talks about it. And that never wavered right up until the point at which he's retired. Gaelic football had to be represented in the north side of the Liffey as well, and Stephen Cluxton was the name for most people that came to mind. And of course, that moment in 2011 when he kicks into the hill against Kerry, probably the standout, one of the standout GAA moments, never mind a standout Dublin GAA moment. I think everyone remembers where they were. Was it Roy Curtis who said on this show before that it's the only time he actually felt the stadium shake? It was certainly, I've heard that said.
It as well.
Yeah, and you've said that.
Roy said it.
It's just, like, what a moment. And to be a Dublin fan, it's what every county fan dreams of, the county winning a moment like that. But what an incredible man. He's not finished yet. Look, maybe he'll retire after this season, who knows, but he's still going. Brian O'Driscoll, north of the Liffey as well. Again, another regular and off the ball. And, you know, what a career with Leinster, Ireland, and the Lions from 03 to 12. He captained Ireland, the highest try score in Irish history. The Grand Slam in 2009, World Rugby Hall of Fame. He was inducted in 2016, and of course, the game against the French when he was a kid sticks in the mind for a lot of people. And Liam Brady was the other. And in fairness to the people who made all these picks, you were trying to represent all sports. Sometimes obvious people missed out, but Liam Brady, I suppose, had to be there. 72 times he's won the FA Cup with Arsenal, picked up two Serie A titles with Juventus, and of course, assistant manager for Ireland and a punditry career as well. There's probably others in North Dublin.
You could add Kevin Heffernan.
Yeah.
From a North Heffo's Dublin Army, perspective. Yep. I mean, would Dublin Gaelic football ever be a thing without Kevin Heffernan?
That's true.
They weren't anything until he came into the picture. And after the 1973 campaign, won the All-Ireland in 74, Dublin Kerry in Technicolor brought Gaelic football to a different place. And he obviously was a player as well in 1958. So from a North Dublin perspective, he could be included. And from a South Dublin perspective, you could include Kevin Moran.
Yeah.
Who was a All-Ireland winner with Dublin and then went on to play for Manchester United and the Republic of Ireland. You know, FA Cup winner with Manchester United and, you know, played at World Cup 1990, played at Euro 88, played for his national team, biggest club in the world, you could say, Manchester United. Mm. And even though they weren't winning league titles at the time, and then the Dublin senior footballers when he was the difference, arguably in 76.
And then you had to make the difficult decision.
And look, people, these things are beautifully, I suppose, triggering for a lot of people, you know, because they're so subjective and there's no right answer. Because there's no right answer, it makes it a beautiful debate.
Mm.
So I ended up picking from all those. I picked Paul McGrath, Padraig Harrington, Brian O'Driscoll, and Jim Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
Picked Paul McGrath because I think Paul McGrath had a very difficult upbringing, extremely difficult, and Back from the Brink, which is Vincent Hogan's book with Paul, is a very good story about that. And then for Paul to have that upbringing that he did in South Dublin and then to go on and play for St. Patrick's Athletic after Dalkey and then go to play for Manchester United and to make it and to be the best player on the pitch in the 85 FA Cup final, to go and become, like, people talk about the Giant Stadium and the masterclass of defending against Italy, who had beaten us in 1990 and then would end up reaching the World Cup final in 1994. There's that. But what came before that was the fact that he was our best player in 1990. He was the player of the Irish team in that tournament. And then went for Manchester United. You think his career is maybe over. He dodgy knees to go and become the player of the year for Aston Villa in 1992-3 season. It was just unbelievable. So, and like, I think there's sometimes you think you can go on the metrics and the data of picks for any kind of sport in person, but I think sometimes it's about the what they mean, the love that Paul McGrath, in, you know, brings out in people in this country. And I think Paul McGrath, for those many reasons, was my one of my picks. Padraig Harrington, I think it could be argued, didn't have necessarily the talent, natural talent of some of the golfers on this island when he was competing, that he worked so hard to improve what he did. To me, is the GOAT, because to win three majors more than Lee Westwood, Luke Donald, Colin Montgomery, no disrespect to any of them, but he's won more open championships, the oldest majors, than anybody, including Rory. Rory had that natural talent. And obviously, Rory is incredible and he's won the career Grand Slam. But Patrick Harrington's will, his drive, his just his ability to just completely reconstruct his swing with Bob Torrance and then win those three major championships. A win, become the first European winner of the PGA since 1930 when he did it in 2008. We weren't winning American majors, the Masters aside. So that's why he was one of my picks. Brian O'Driscoll is our record try scorer. Rugby came into the professional era in a way which was, you know, a bit clumsy. But from an Irish perspective, we were like whipping boys. We were just terrible when I was watching rugby growing up in the 80s and early 90s. And there's that moment in Paris after, 28 years, and Brian O'Driscoll gets the hat-trick. Sometimes the greats arrive. They arrive with a moment. Mm. And Brian O'Driscoll just arrived with a hat-trick. And then he was just the leader in terms of just the skill that he had. But then there's the spiritual leader of the team and the captain of the team and Captain Ireland to win the first Grand Slam in 61 years. The roots of our success under Andy Farrell and Johnny Sexton were all built out of that great team. And Brian O'Driscoll was the leader of that. And he's from the north side. I don't want to rock, but he's from the north side. So somebody from the north side had to be in there for me. And you're also different sports, rugby, golf, soccer and Gaelic football. I mean, as Heffo, you could definitely argue, but Jim Gavin lost one championship game as a manager in seven seasons. And that's, I mean, that is unbelievable.
When you put it like that. And now he's changed Gaelic football for the better.
There you go. And, yeah. And I made the Matt Rushmore before he changed Gaelic football for the better, or led the committee that did so.
One of those was changed, of course, by Brian Kerr.
Brian picked Michael Carruth instead of Brian O'Driscoll.
So the final four was, it was Paul McGrath, Jim Gavin, Patrick Harrington, and Michael Carruth was the...
An Olympic champion, as you said, was 36 years. And we know Olympic champion, it's a global sport. It's the greatest, arena for anybody. They were my choices. I stand over them, Shane. I don't know about Cork. I'm happy that when I picked the Cork four off my own head, it went off the cuff yesterday, that they did match the four.
Yeah. You got it exactly right. So Colin Buhig, of course, from this parish and Off the Ball Breakfast, had the honour of picking Cork. And again, it was a difficult one. And everyone in the car, it's probably the first four names you're going to shout, but yet again, there are big names that missed out. So the first one, Sonia.
Yes.
Of course, you have to pick Sonia. And what happened at Sydney was remarkable. It was like a national moment, I think. Obviously, there was the immediate disappointment that she didn't get gold. But
also the athletes that Sonia ran against, and I won't go into names, but they definitely, some of them had question marks over them. Mm. How many more goals would she have won?
Yeah.
and also the adversity thing, that Atlanta didn't go her way, but she was a world champion. She's a world champion. She was our best at 5,000 and then second in Sydney. And Sonia as well is so accessible. I mean, she's just a wonderful person. And like to even have her on the show is just such a privilege. And she's even writing today in the Times or in the last few days. So yeah. Sonia, I would definitely agree with you.
I remember Colm saying at the time that the TVs were wheeled into the school, and he remembers seeing teachers with emotions that he had never seen before when Sonia was running in Sydney. And she'd had the heartbreak in Atlanta four years previous, and Barcelona so much. So she was an obvious pick, and just what an incredible athlete. I mean, Roy is obviously in there. Roy Keane.
That goes without saying.
It goes without saying, and there's not much you need to say, but Roy Keane, no. In fairness. And he's so proud of his Cork roots and his Corkness, and we'll get into Corkness.
He's very Cork, Roy.
He is. Yeah, he is very Cork. And the fact that he still goes back, and I think he said before that he gets so much joy out of going and watching Cork hurling in a big match, and that is what he loves doing most in life. You know, he probably prefers that than going to a...
Well, Roy Keane was, it can be said, the best player in the world at one stage.
Mm.
That late 90s Manchester United, when he just came back around, like, obviously the semi-final 99, the 2000 season, captain, you know, player of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same, and it's the same as the Paul McGrath when you talk about Paul's incredible individual performance. You look at Keane's performance, and when he tackles Overmars early doors against the Netherlands and in 0-1, before McAteer goes on to score the winner, that was an incredible moment. So obvious pick, Christy Ring. I mean, there had to be a GA person in there when it comes to Cork. I mean, the greatest, just the greatest, and regarded by many as the greatest hurler of all time. Most All Irelands, most points, 8 All Irelands. Won his first 4 Irelands by the time he was 24. Which, when you think about it, is quite remarkable, and a cultural icon as well. And if he wasn't in there, there'd be a lot of people saying, "Well, what about Christy Ring?" Even though he's before most of our times,
it's a hard one because Jimmy Barry Murphy is.
Yeah, well, that was the obvious omission if Christy Ring wasn't going to be in there.
Yeah, because Jimmy Barry football All Ireland as a teenager, hurling All Irelands. There was a photo of Jimmy Barry in 1986. I think it was his last hurling All Ireland, went for Cork against Galway. I think he scores a goal, and he's on his knees celebrating in front of the hill. And then managing Cork to win the All-Ireland in 99. And he's just like, Jimmy Barry Murphy's absolute legend in Cork.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Roy Keane's hero. And like, if Roy Keane was picking this Rushmore, he would have had JBM in there.
Jimmy Barry Murphy, timeless and legendary. Yeah.
Now his son.
Who's the fourth?
Fourth was Ronan O'Gara, of course.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. 128 Irish caps, 1,083 points for Ireland. I mean, the drop goal against Wales, the moments that
he Munster.
And Munster, of course, what he brought to Munster. It was just the try against Leinster in 06, try against Toulouse in 2000. You know, just amazing. He was 2010 as well, voted the player that contributed the most to the Heineken Cup, as it was called then, in its first 15 years. Rugby Hall of Fame as well in 2016. And again, just a man who has travelled the world and lived in, you know, New Zealand and France, and still just has never lost that Cork accent. And I love when people live abroad for some time, and Roy Keane has done it as well and just has never lost the accent. We've got a WhatsApp in here as well. Teddy McCarthy, dual All-Ireland winner. And in fairness, there are a few down.
Well, that will never be repeated, what Teddy McCarthy did in 1990.
Yeah. Incredible.
Book, Adrian Russell wrote a book about it, about the double. Read it, if you're from Cork and you're listening in, that's definitely worth reading, about the hurlers and the footballers winning in 1990.
Mm.
Maybe the Dubs with hurlers now could do it eventually, but Galway could do it, but very few counties could do it. And a player is never going to play ever again on teams that win the All-Ireland in the same year as Teddy McCarthy did. I'm thinking Arena Buckley here, Breach Cork, really meant All-Irelands.
Arena Buckley, 18 All-Irelands and 11 All-Stars, John. Like, to play with the footballers and the Camogie team over all those years. Dennis Irwin is obviously a very proud Corkman and was roommate of Roy Keane's, and someone who potentially just missed out on this as well, but it's a difficult one. And the O'Donovan brothers in particular then, Paul O'Donovan.
Yes.
Who went on to stardom.
That's the great thing about this, because when we were probably doing this originally, he wouldn't have been, but now...
Yeah. Now it's Paul is you know, he's outstanding in his arena. And it was also just the crack that the two lads brought as well. I remember the two Donovan brothers being on the Graham Norton show, and I think Marion Cotillard, the French actress, was one of the guests, and she didn't have a clue what the two lads were saying. And it was just comic genius, all of their interviews after their big races. But yeah, just when you have a county, when you think of Cork's Mount Rushmore beyond the four we've picked there, if you had Dennis Irwin, Jimmy Barry Murphy, Rena Buckley, Breach, as you say, and Paul O'Donovan, you could have an unbelievable one that would trump any other county's Mount Rushmore. So yeah, I'm sure there are people screaming at the car or at radio or at home saying, I would have had this person in, that person in. It also got me thinking, John, this whole conversation.
Yes.
I know Pat Ryan mentioned the word Corkness earlier in the year, and they've kind of removed themselves from it a little bit. And look, the phrase goes back a long time. Some people say Kieran Shannon, I think, originally used it in an Irish Examiner piece a number of years ago, but it's been around.
What does it mean?
I don't really know. Like, I think it's a different thing to different people, but I'm not from Cork, but I would think of Cork people in the... And I mean this in a complimentary way, cocky.
Yeah.
Do you know, they know how good they are at a certain sport. Look, just look at the sports people that they've brought and the impact they've had in this country. So cocky with good reason.
I would say a pride in their own.
Yes, 100%.
There's not a fear of showing that pride.
No. So the question I wanted to ask you is, what is Dublinness, John, as a Dub?
I was born on Holles Street, on Dublin too. So I've lived here all my life. I love my city. I love my county. I think Dublin's a very varied county. Look, it's where we had rebellion in 1916. And it's like, I don't put Dublin into boxes. I don't put it into one box. I put it into an experience of, which is very fluid.
Mm.
So Dublin for me is the Poolbeg Tower Walk. It's Donnyman Strand. It's a fry up in the Liberties. It's prawns and docky. It's pints of stout in the inner city or in the suburbs. It's conversation. It's literature, it's art, it's great buildings, it's Georgian history, it's the sea. There's many things. And from a sporting perspective, it's Barney Rock and Kieran Duff as heroes growing up. Ronnie Whelan is a hero. David O'Leary, Paul McGrath, you know, that's what I grew up with. But it's very diverse. It's very fluid. And there's no real... It's just a feeling.
Mm.
Of being from the capital, that's a quite fun, quite a relaxed city, quite a beautiful city, and I love the fact that Dublin is still so small that you can still walk around it. And I had country parents, Clare and Limerick, so I also had that sense of what the country was about coming in, you know, growing up in the city in South Dublin. So I went to Christian Brothers Gaelic Games soccer school. So there's other people in Dublin have lived different lives. And with over a million people in it, that's the great thing about it, is because from Balbriggan to Shankill or out to Glendalkin or in the west side of the city, there's definitely a real individuality to it, that and a relaxed individuality about the identity of the city. It's almost, it's anonymous, but it's also connected at the same time. That's what I love about it.
Mm.
And there's, I think it's like all places in Ireland, which we should be very proud of, Mona and yourself and Cork people. There's definitely, there's a pride in it. When it comes to sport, it's generally been through the Gaelic football team
mm.
and the soccer players and maybe the hurlers today.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Well said, John. It's probably that feeling you get when you're a travelled man as well. You've travelled around the world, and that when the plane banks and you see the city blowing.
When you see Howth and when you see the pullback towers, if you're on a lucky to be on a plane, you go, "This is not bad. We're going to be here back here soon." So.
Football on Off the Ball.
I've looked up to Borussia for years. You know, when you hear her coming into the league and to your team, it's excitement and like you learn so much from it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.